Friends, when you have shared love, when you have shared peace, please find a seat. We are full of peace this morning. That is a good thing. Good morning. And welcome. Welcome to the First Congregational Church in Stockbridge. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. As people move around here, I want to welcome old-timers and newcomers. Because if we are the kind of church we are called to be, we need both sage wisdom and new ideas. Welcome to children of parents and parents of children, because here we are all beloved children of God. Welcome to sisters of brothers and brothers of sisters, because here we try to live into the truth that we are all sisters and brothers as God created us to be. Welcome to those who have called this church home for decades, and to these seven people up front who will officially call it home today. Welcome to those who are here for the first time to see if this place might fit, for we are a place that is always becoming. Welcome this morning to all who have ever felt lost, because here you will be found. Welcome to anyone who has struggled, because here we will struggle right alongside of you. And welcome to those who have questioned, for here we will help you live into the answers, and to those with answers, because we can always use more. So welcome. A special welcome this morning to Yijin Yuk, who has just completed his freshman year at the Hawthorne Valley School. Today, he is going to be playing our postlude. It will be glorious, I am sure. I invite all who are new this morning to fill out one of these pew cards that you will find in your pew. If you give me a way to get in touch with you, I promise I will. I don't think I need to invite those who have an announcement to come forward, because I think they are already here. So at this point, I will go ahead and turn it over to them. On the screen sheet, you will find other opportunities and ways to engage the life of this church. We hope that you will. Friends, welcome. We are glad that you are here. This is a moment made for the worship of God, and it's high time we do just that.
Our Hebrew scripture reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, Chapter 17, verses 5 through 8, in your Pew Bible on page 12. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring and after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God. If there are children here this morning, or people who are childlike, there we go, Irving.
Nice to have you here, Irving. So I need some more help, and I need this cord longer. Do I have some other children to come on up? Thank you. Thank you so much. So we're hearing some things about Abraham. We're hearing some things about generations. And we're hearing some things about a special covenant or agreement that God made with Abraham. And then with generations that came after, all the way down to Irving and you and me. But that's not so easy to understand. So I thought that it would be more fun if we could act it out a little bit. So I've asked Abraham to come and step forward, even though he's extremely old, very, very old. Abraham, would you come? Thank you very much. Please give him a hand, would you? And you can stay right there. That's beautiful. So now, Irving, I'm going to need your help, okay? You agree to do this? Would you look around and would you find me someone you think could play the role of God? Just anyone. Choose someone. I know it's a hard task. So could God please step forward? Thank you very much. So if you don't mind standing up here, Irving, because since you are the youngest, we do have to give you a name tag, okay? Okay, now would you mind very much letting us go over and give Abraham one so we know who he is. Thank you. Let's see, what happened to God? I can't find God. Oh dear. We'll have to wait. Now you need to find someone. It could be somebody sitting here who would probably be mother. A mother. Any mother. Anybody here, just give them a name tag. You choose. All right, very good. How about father? You want to choose somebody to be father? Go ahead. There you go. Excellent. Now, this is getting a little more sensitive, but this is grandma. Grandma. So, you got some choices up front, or if you want to find somebody else, that's fine. We just want to get all these people up. Grandma, okay. Now you got one. This is grandpa. Go find some grandpa. Oh, you are good. All right, here he goes. Now, let's see. This is getting even older. We have great-grandma. Uh-oh. Great-grandma. Uh-oh. This is really, really old.
Grandpa.
Say it again.
Great, great grandpa.
Go for it. Find somebody. No, that's God. That's God. You'll have to go find somebody in the audience to be. Go ahead. Close by. Somebody raise their hand. Yes, help them out. There you go. Okay, let's do one more, and then I think we get the basic idea. This is great-great-grandma. Do we have another volunteer to be great? Oh, she's going to be great-great-grandma. Okay, so now and everybody, would you stand? And we need you to position yourself starting on this side with mother and father, okay? Then we need grandma and grandpa. Then great-grandma, great-grandpa. Oh, okay, and great-great. Great-great. And God, if you don't mind, we won't give you a name tag because you are the nameless one, okay? So now why do we have all these people lined up? Why do you think? Because we're trying to figure out which generation is which. You are the first generation because you are here right now, okay? And at that end is the next generation, the generation that came before you, your ma and your pa, even though they may not be standing here, that's their generation. Is it Generation X? I forget which one it is. Then the generation before that, maybe they're the baby boomers, who knows? And then the next generation, I think they were called the great ones, who knows? Or the silent generation? Somebody has to help me with this. All right, but every generation, there's a new group of people that come along. But then God, oops, got to get my prop. Give this to God. God gave blessings to everyone, starting with Abraham. So God, offer your blessings. These are blessings, and they come in many, many different forms. They come in love. They come in blessings of abundance and joy and good health and happiness forever and ever and ever and ever. In fact, we're going to sing a blessing for ourselves, for you, and for the whole congregation to remind us that we are, in fact, blessed. Always blessed. So thank you very much. You can go back to your seats as we sing. You will find the yellow sheets. Wait a second. You want to take these around and give them out? Thank you. Please join in. Whether
the epistle reading this morning is from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, 23 to 29, in your pew Bible on page 1014. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian, until Christ came so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. May God add a blessing to the reading of these words.
Friends, please be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Friends, look at these people sitting in the first two rows. Well, and him sitting back here as well. Look at these people sitting in these first couple of rows. Do they look good? Amen?
Amen.
Absolutely. You guys look great. You got dressed up for this occasion, each in your own way. This morning, you reached into your closet and you picked out an outfit to wear. Now, maybe you picked out an outfit you wore on another occasion that you enjoyed. Maybe you picked out an outfit that makes you look fabulous. Or maybe, knowing that you would be in front of all these wonderful people, you picked out an outfit that makes you comfortable, that makes you feel good just as you are. On a day like this, we know that outfits matter. Picking out an outfit matters. It shows that you remember that today is a special day. It shows that you respect what's happening here this morning. It means you put some thought into today. And that means something. I know it means something to all of us that you are here. If I look a little tired this morning, if I don't quite have the spring in my step I normally do, truth be told, I got back late last night. I got back late last night from my younger sister's wedding in Canada. It was glorious. You know, when a member of your family just looks so happy that you just can't help but join in. It was that kind of a day. And I could promise you that she spent a whole lot of time figuring out what she was going to wear on that day. And John will tell you, she looked great. With her outfit, the whole world knew exactly who she was. When she was walking to the ceremony, people knew she was the bride. And because of that, they reached out to her. They shared in her joy. They offered congratulations. What she wore said something about the day, and it offered a response from all those who were gathered around her. Now, we did our best today to dress you up a little bit more, too. Those flowers on your lapel. They're a gift for you to share our joy in this occasion. They are a gift for you also so that all these people know exactly who you are, and whether that scares you a little bit or whether that brings you joy, we gave you flowers so that they could come up to you and offer you their joy and their celebration and welcome you in. What we wear matters. It says a lot about who we are, and it invites a response from others who see us. In our reading that Glenn did this morning from Paul's letter to the Galatians, Paul talks about the most important outfit we will ever put on. It's an outfit that we wear each and every day. He said, if you heard, in our baptism, each of us are clothed in Christ. Today, these seven people, when they join our church, they will actually reaffirm their baptismal vows. And Paul says that each of you today, you will remember and dust off and put back on Christ. You will put on your very best outfit for the whole world to see. Now, I could tell by some of your looks on your face that we might need to look a little bit at exactly what does putting on Christ really mean. Let me give you my own perspective. Each Sunday, I put on these robes because I think it matters. I will put on these robes throughout the summer. I will put them on no matter how hot it is, no matter how cold it is, because I think it matters. Because when I put on these robes, I do what they do today. I remember my calling to serve Christ. I put on these robes so that no matter who walks through the door, they know my role within this community, not set above, but set apart, that I might serve God and serve each of you. Most of all, I put on these robes, though, because I want you to be focused on my calling, not on my tie. Because I want you to be dazzled not by the cut of my suit, but by the love for our God. I put these robes on because when I do, I really do feel that I put on Christ. I don't give for a moment, give up fully who I am, but I remember to whom I belong and the source of all I might yet be. And that's what Paul says matters on this day for you. Not just that you get all dressed up, although I'm glad you did, but that you clothe yourself in the radical, sinner-loving, outcast-greeting, rule-breaking, troublemaking, soul-saving, lost but found craving Jesus Christ, the one who makes one body out of an infinitively varied tapestry of believers, the one to whom we belong. When we put on Christ, if you heard Glenn, suddenly there is neither slave nor free. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female, for we are all one. In other words, when we put on Christ in the midst of ongoing immigration controversies, there is neither native-born or undocumented alien. When we put on Christ in the midst of elections, there is neither Republican or Democrat, neither red nor blue. Anything that normally divides or fosters inequality, anything that builds or creates division in status or class, melt away in the face of God's saving love, so that you and I and these seven people might be in full and complete relationship. Robert Bryant, a professor of religion at Presbyterian College in South Carolina, says this. He says that when we put on Christ, we have no choice but the way we live our life, and more importantly, perhaps even, the way we enter into relationship with God and with one another cannot go on as it did before. He says that when we put on Christ, we cannot help but be part of God's act of creation, partnering with God to build a new family where all of God's children feel at home. When we put on Christ, he says, we do not just honor the radical, sinner-loving, outcast-greeting, rule-breaking, trouble-making, soul-saving, lost-but-found craving Jesus Christ. We really and truly, in all we say and do, follow him. We are clothed with him in ways that people can recognize and in ways that invite their response, both in terms of joy and celebration. Letty Russell takes it one step further. She says that when we put on Christ as a whole church, when we put on Christ together, What we actually do is we welcome all believers into a giant circle. She says we invite people into this giant circle where only Jesus is at the middle of that circle. A circle where we work hard to make sure there is space and room for everyone in that circle. The rich and the poor. Those who have a lot to offer this church and those who need a whole lot from us. Those with joy to spare and those who are mired in despair. Where we all stand side by side, equidistant from the hub of our life, Christ. Where we in that circle make Christ our focus, where we make Christ the energy that make our relationships work, Christ the beginning and end, the cause for whom we live, and from whose love nothing in all of creation can ever separate us. We put on Christ, and any distinctions or divisions that impede relationship melt away. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. It is beautiful. Amen. Amen. And yet, there is a very important distinction, I think, to make in all this talk of the disappearance of differences. One that I want to make sure that you hear this morning, and I want to make sure everyone in this room hears. If the center of our life is really and truly going to be Jesus the Christ, we need each of your different journeys. We need each of the different ways you have met and know Christ. We need each of the different ways that you have identified, realized, and found Christ moving in your lives to help the rest of us fully realize who Christ is. We need your differences to help illuminate the different ways Christ brings saving grace to this world. If you remember when we sat around that table in the Jonathan Edwards room sharing our faith journey, you will remember that not one of our stories was the same. Not one of them. Each of us have experienced the radical, sinner-loving, outcast-greeting, rule-breaking, trouble-making, soul-saving, lost-but-found craving Jesus Christ in different ways. I think that when we sat around that table and when tears flowed like they did, I think it was because how one person described their experience, the way they knew and understood Christ to be moving in their lives, touched something in each of the rest of it that both resonates with our experience and helps build upon it to make it richer and deeper. Friends, never forget that the same Paul, the very Paul here who claims that our distinctions cease to matter in the body of Christ, is the exact same one who in the letter of Corinthians talked about the beauty and variety of gifts, that we actually need all those distinctions and differences if we are ever to be the body of Christ. Steve and Casey, Janet and John, Carrie, Karen, and Donna, we are so excited today that you are here to join this body of Christ. We are excited partly because you have found a home, a place where you feel welcome, and that is good. We are excited because it means that this is a vibrant place, that we are a growing place, and that God's love is reaching out in increasing numbers, and that is good. But on this day, I have to be honest. I am so excited because each of you bring something new and different to who we are as a church, a new way of understanding and seeing who Jesus is. Through your stories, you can tell us how Christ matters to you in ways that might help us find Christ anew in our own lives. You can help us. So even though, in some way, you guys are the newbies, the new kids on the block, I want you to share what you know and where you have been. And I want you to go up and ask all these other people who they are, where they've been, and where their spiritual journeys have brought them, because together we will learn from one another. Together, through laughter and tears, we will come to better know the radical, sinner-loving, outcast-greeting, rule-breaking, trouble-making, soul-saving, lost-but-found craving Jesus Christ better and better with each breath we take. We will all be able to dress our lives in his love in ways that people in this room and beyond this room can see. And I promise you that if we do, and if we do it right, people will respond. The world will change. This will be a better place. And you know what? Who knows? Someday they might walk through this door. They might find a place they can call home. And someday, they might be sitting in those very seats, dressed up with flowers on, ready to teach us something about the one we worship, the one we know as Christ. Now, will that be a cause for celebration? If so, please say amen. Friends, you may be seated, except for you. I would invite all of those joining the church to come forward at this time, along with Joanne Levitt and Glenn Gilbert. Please come forward. You may take your places right here, looking out at these great people. This weekend at the wedding, we talked about the forming of a new family. That is what we do when we take new members into this church. We welcome new members into our family, and by doing so, we are reformed as a new family. And so today, we look forward to welcoming many brothers and sisters here into our church. I invite all of you to take out your bulletin and let us read together our statement of our purpose as a church. Our purpose as a church is to carry on the mission and ministry that God initiated in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, whom we recognize as Christ. Our purpose is to present Christ, God's saving and healing love, both locally and in the wider world.
Friends in Christ, we are all received into the church through the sacrament of baptism. These people have found nurture and support in the midst of the family of Christ. They have been led by the Spirit
to affirm their baptism
and to claim in our presence their covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of the Christian Church. They are here as we are here to endeavor to love God with all our hearts and all our souls and all our minds. God help us.
They are here as we are here to endeavor to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. God help us.
Friends who are joining, we rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this time and place.
We give thanks for every community of faith, which has been your spiritual home,
and we celebrate your presence in this household of faith.
The joining to a church is the binding of covenant between you and God and you and this local body of Christ. It is a promise made. So there are questions I have for you, and there are questions that I have for the members of this congregation. We will start with you. Do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue in your pilgrimage of faith, to be Christ's disciple, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, please answer, we promise with the help of God. Do you promise to walk with us in faithfulness and in Christian love? Do you promise, so far as you are able, that you will live into the covenant of this church? Will you worship God with us, seek to grow with us, and offer your gifts for the benefit of this church and the larger church of which this is a part? If so, please answer, we promise with the help of God. And now I would ask all members of this congregation, all people who have owned the covenant of this church, to please rise as you are able. Sisters and brothers, will you welcome these new members with joy in the common life of this church? Will you promise your friendship and prayers? Will you minister to them and allow yourself to be ministered by them? If so, please answer, we promise with the help of God.
We promise with the help of
God. Will you share with them the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ? Will you grow with them together in God's knowledge and love and be witnesses of our risen Savior? If so, please answer, we promise with the help of God.
We promise with the help of God.
And then while we are standing, let us read the promise that we are binding ourselves to, our congregational statement of covenant as printed in your bulletin. As we strive to fill our purpose, we covenant to worship together on a regular basis, to strive to grow spiritually, to open ourselves to follow God's leading in our lives, both individually and as a community of faith, to give support to and receive support from one another through life's transitions, to support and participate in the wider Christian community and support the institution of this church with our time, resources, and skills.
So on behalf of this church family, we welcome you. We look forward to our journey together. We give thanks for the chance to learn with you and grow with you, to deepen our faith, to broaden our minds, and open our hearts. May God bless and enrich our time together. Amen.
Amen. Friends, you may be seated. And so we come once again to a time of worship where we pray together, where we open our hearts, where we search our lives, and when we lift up to God both those things that bring us incredible joy and those things that are burdens. We bring them up so that we might carry them for each other and we might celebrate with each other. We bring them up that God might take those burdens from us and that we might walk anew. And so this morning I ask you, what joys and concerns do you bring with you to worship this morning? Joyce. Joyce gives many thanks for those nudges in our life that get us to move forward.
Prayers for the Yella family as their newborn daughter recovers from open heart surgery.
What's the last name?
Yella.
Yella. We keep the Yella family in our order, in our prayers as their newborn daughter recovers from surgery. Our prayers are with you and with your mom tomorrow as she has a cardiac stent placed in. Michelle. Do I get an amen? Joy for our new members. Amen. We give thanks for Amy and for Jim and the new life they begin together today. There is a concern I'd like to bring before you. Aliva Henderson took a fall in her apartment. She broke her hip. I talked to Shelley, her daughter, last night. Shelley told me, these are her words, she said, if you are to break your hip, she broke her hip in the best way possible. She apparently has already had surgery. Pins are in place. She is already up and moving around a little bit, from what I understand. The other great news, she said, is there are angels at Kimball Farms. The Montgomerys and others are looking in on Bob and taking care of him. But there may be some need for prayers and help and resources. We will keep you in tune. But my understanding is that she is doing better day by day, and that she is expected to enter rehab in the next couple of days, and then within a few weeks be back home again. So I ask you to keep Aliva and Bob in your prayers. Are there other joys and concerns to be brought forward on this day? Then let us join our hearts and our minds in prayer. God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Peter and Paul, God of John Sargent and Jonathan Edwards, God of this church here and now, we come before you this morning as your people of faith. We come before you this morning, God, as one body, trying to understand what you would have us do, who we are called to be as your faithful people here and now. This morning, God, we come with joy and thanksgiving for this day and for our next breath. Let us treasure each and all as gifts from you. We come before you today in thanksgiving for this family of faith and for all families who are out there, for brand new families and for families that have stood the test of time. We give you thanks for Donna, for Steve, Janet, Casey, Carrie, Karen, and John, who are now members of our family. God, this morning we lift up those who could use a little of your love and help. We lift up those in Calgary, God, whose city is underwater. We lift up the nearly 200,000 people who suddenly have no place to call home. God, give them hope. Give them patience and endurance. This morning, God, we lift up all those in Turkey and in Brazil's, where water cannons fire, where rubber bullets fill the air, and where protests line the street. God, we ask you to send your wisdom, that leaders and protesters might come together and work together for peace. Today, God, we lift up Aliva and Bob. We ask you to hold them in your loving hands, to grant them wholeness and health. God, you are our God. And now together we lift up our voices as one body in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, this morning we have proclaimed our praise and given our thanks to God in song, in prayer, and in word. Let us do so now with our lives. Let us give to the ministries of this church and the Church Universal in praise of God, from whom all blessings flow, and in thanksgiving for the abundance with which we have been given. This morning's offering will now be given and received.
Oh,
Holy and loving God, we ask you to bless these gifts. We ask you to bless the heart and minds of all of the people who will be charged with using these gifts. Bless them that they may use them wisely, in grace and in love. God bless all who have gathered here today, that we might go forth from this place wrapped in your love as beacons of hope to this world. We ask all this in the name of the one whom we follow, our Savior, our brother, the one we know as Christ. And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, our worship here within the walls of this room is coming to a close. It is coming to the close so that you might go out beyond these walls and worship God in whole new ways. Before you go, a couple of invitations. First of all, I do invite all of you to come into that room because the people with flowers, the people who got all dressed up, they're going to be lined up along this row just waiting to meet you and greet you. So come do so. Then, of course, come to our picnic later this afternoon. Follow the directions on your orange sheet. It is a gorgeous day. Finally, if you want to be part of a pickup choir like this, there is one more opportunity. It is next week. All you need to do is show up at 9:15 and practice and sing and get ready to help lead worship. Let's close our worship now in song. sisters and brothers, I send you forth today with the blessing that Paul ended his letter to the Galatians. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. And let the whole church say, Amen.